Welcome to the second episode of Something Wicked, the podcast, where we search for a way to make life more magical. I'm your host, Amy, and I hope you've all been doing super well. If you aren't doing so crash hot right now, I hope you're giving yourself a little bit of a break and being gentle with yourself. Remember that this too shall pass. And with that quote, I feel like I've thoroughly crossed the threshold into Oldsville. If you were listening last episode, you will know that I was just ready to turn the big 4-0, and it's happened. I've crossed the threshold and I can feel my bones crumbling and my lean muscle mass melting as we speak. And I thought it was the perfect time to record and document how I'm feeling. I'm not actually feeling that bad. I feel very reflective, a little bit scared, but mostly anticipatory and excited about what the next phase of my life is going to bring. And even though I want to live to 120, maybe even 150, 40 seems like such a momentous year, sort of a looking back on one page of my life and then turning to have an equal rest of my life. 40 years there and at least another 40 years ahead of me. So it's been definitely a thoughtful process. In the end, I mean, it's privileged age, so we all got to do it. Now, I don't know if it was the way we magically welcomed last episode, and I've been itching to record this second podcast. I think when I played the episode back, I was cringing at how unnatural I sounded and actually how nervous and bashful I sounded. But we all have to start somewhere, don't we? And I expect that my personality is probably going to begin oozing itself out a bit more as we go along. I already feel more comfortable this episode, far more than last episode. So I think it was probably just popping that cherry. But long story short, everything feels good and auspicious and where it should be right now. So let's keep the party going. First, the thing that's making me feel magical lately is my morning brew. You wouldn't expect it, but something as small as the drink at the start of my day is really having an outsized positive effect on the rest of it. And I do love a good bevy. But to give you a bit of backstory, my eldest daughter has started school this year. And so along with trying to manage a new timetable of dropping her off with the youngest still at daycare and us still having to go to work, and also the heartbreak. The absolute heartbreak when your kid goes off to school and lets go of your hand and runs off to the playground. No one told me about that. It's different from daycare because even when you're handing your child over to them, it's with the idea that they will just continue to care until you come back. But kindergarten is a whole new scenario. This is the time where I've realized that I can no longer curate my kid's experiences. She's going to go out and have interactions with other people, and it's going to affect her personality in a way that I could control before. And now I can't. She's going to determine whether she's good, whether she's bad, whether she's naughty, whether she's happy, whether she's slow, whether she's clever, all because of how she responds and reacts to how people respond and react to her. And it's just a really crazy feeling. I stand there like an absolute creep, and she can't see me, of course, but I say goodbye to her and then I just watch her as she goes up to like her little friendship groups. And, you know, depending on the day, the friendship group might be different, or they might ignore her, or they might be very open and receptive and start playing with her. But it's just such a heartbreak to stand by and not be able to go in and control the situation. But anyway, so I have had a little bit of an upended couple of months, I guess, with turning 40 and moving house and letting my kid go to kindergarten. So your girl has found a way to cope by drinking this particular drink in the morning. And I've mentioned before that I'm quite particular about the cup or the mug or the glass that I'm drinking out of. So I have to be sure that my morning brew, this particular very witchy magical drink, is, if it's the weekend, I'll make sure that my favorite mug is used, which is like a navy one with little sort of gemstones on it, and it's really thick and heavy and the perfect shape. If you're a tea-obsessed person like me, or even if you're a coffee-obsessed person, you know the meaning of having to have that perfect vessel that feels good in your hands when you're drinking, but also actually makes the potent liquid inside taste delicious. But if it's a weekday and I don't have my gem cup because it'll just spill everywhere in the car, I've also got this little reusable coffee mug, and it's by a brand, we have it in Australia, I don't know if you can get it anywhere else, but it's called The Good Egg, and it's just the cutest thing. It's the shape of an actual egg, and it's cream, and it's got a rainbow speckle on it, and you can inscribe a word or a phrase or your name on it. So of course, because I knew what I wanted to put on the cup straight away, I chose the word magical. And I tell you, when I put my special magic liquid into this magical cup and I go on my way, the world could be falling apart around me and I just feel like I'm swanning through with this lantern in front of me just illuminating the way. I sip from it and it's frothy and it's floral and it's slightly sweet, but it's not too sweet. It's called the London Fog Latte, but I call it, my special version is the London Fog in Paris Tea Latte. It's on my Patreon if you would like the ingredients list and the spell or ritual, or you can tailor it however you like, but just doing it thoughtfully with intention, it really makes a difference on how your day feels. I don't know why it's such a small thing, but it really does. On to birthdays, the magic of birthdays. Now, I want to be real with you guys. Birthdays have not always been the best time for me. I tend to think that people either love or hate their birthdays and there's no in between, but that could simply be because I'm colored by my own experience. But it's got nothing to do with age. As I said before, I absolutely think it's a privilege to get older. I try to stay as mindful and positive about the fact that my face and body and mind are always growing, and they're going to be inevitably shaped and scarred by the environment around me, wrinkles and all. And I've had friends who have died far too young. And so it really just feels like I need to be mindful of what's happening and just enjoy the sun on my face and be grateful for an extra day, let alone an extra year around the sun. And I also wouldn't turn back time to live my 20s or 30s again. I am completely happy to be the age that I am and where I am at in life. My partner Ben actually sent me through this quote by Carl Jung, and it says something like, life truly begins at 40, and until then it's just research, and that just rings true for me. I feel like I've just been preparing for this moment and now I'm ready to go. But when I say that I haven't always enjoyed birthdays, I had a parent growing up that had narc tendencies. So they commandeered my birthday in a way where I was both never sure whether my wishes were going to be taken into account or whether I was important at all. And at the same time, I knew I had to perform for others and that the spotlight was going to be on me. And I had to make sure that I was living up to whatever these invisible expectations were from others. And I think as a result of that, especially through my kidhood and even through to my early adult years, I just tried to remain as nonchalant and as under the radar as I could about my birthday. I would just dread the birthday when it was coming up. And if someone happened to get me a cake or sing happy birthday or, God forbid, throw me a surprise birthday party, I would just grin and bear it and just keep thinking to myself, it'll be over for another year and that's okay. But probably around the age of 25, my birthday mood changed and I actually started to relax into the idea of maybe enjoying and building some rituals around my birthday. And I highly suspect that it was because around that age, I really came into power with myself and I really felt like I was a true adult and that I could take charge of my destiny and realize that I was actually in control of my own future. I could be more grateful and reflective for how far I'd come and where I was going. But whatever age we are or how we decide to celebrate our birthdays or not, birthdays are a reminder that we are growing and we are changing and that we are a part of nature as much as everything around us. We've been through another cycle of summer, autumn, winter, spring within our body. and we've gathered a host of experiences and memories in our latest trip around the sun, and I think that deserves to be honored. So going into the history and the magicalness of birthdays in general, the first record of an actual birthday celebration was of an Egyptian pharaoh, actually a celebration of the coronation, so the date or the anniversary of ascending to the throne and being born again as a god. And these occasions were marked by grand ceremonies, religious rituals and offerings, but for a long time afterwards, birthdays were just a rich people thing and not a thing celebrated or marked by the common folk. Sometimes they were invited, but they were never really the center of the birthday celebration. Now, when Christianity spread, saints' feast days or baptisms were added, and ancient Romans began celebrating men's and boys' birthdays publicly. And from the government, you would get a honey, cheese, olive oil, and wheat cake that were sent to people on their 50th birthdays. So it sounds like the wheat cake is kind of the equivalent of the Queen's letter, or the King's letter, I guess you would be sent now, when you turn 100 years old and reach centurion. But here's where it gets really spicy. Both the Greeks and the Romans believed that people were issued with a birthday demon. The Greeks believed that the day a person was born determined which demon would be associated with them, and that this demon or spirit attended their birth and would watch over them in life. Now, this demon or spirit was also an important bridge between you and the birthday god, meaning the god that was aligned planetarily at the time of your birth. So the demon was believed to influence your personality traits, your strengths and fortunes throughout your life journey. And it was also thought to bring luck and protection to the person. And so it wasn't unusual to provide offerings either to thank the demon for a job well done on how your life was going, or entreating your demon with something to help you get your ish together. Dreams dreamed on your birthday were dreams of the future gifted to you by your birthday demon. Now, if you were celebrating your birthday in the Middle Ages, you'd probably be believing that supernatural beings, such as fairies, spirits, witches, and the like, were particularly active on a birthday, and they were always ready to either bestow a blessing or a curse depending on their intentions. And this was because birthdays mark that crucial point in someone's life, and they're attracting attention from both benevolent and malevolent forces. So these beings would see your birthday as the perfect time to create havoc, lure you away, or gift you something special on a whim, depending on who they were. And the ritual of singing happy birthday to someone over a birthday cake was not just for love and celebration of the individual at the center, but actually to form a type of protective circle against these more malevolent beings. And so from Roman times and throughout the Middle Ages, particularly through pagan belief, the candle of fire was endowed with a power, with the ability to grant wishes made, but also to ward off real and surreal enemies. And so what you were doing was surrounding the loved one with your protection. And also the idea of bestowing someone with these birthday gifts was a further way to ward off those negative spirits. But birthday cakes and the way we celebrate today with birthday parties seems to have found its origins in Germany at their Kinderfests, starting during the 17th century. And these Kinderfests were particularly playful celebrations, mainly geared towards children, egg and spoon races, tug of war, musical chairs and all that jazz. And of course, amazing cakes of marzipan, gingerbread, and chocolate. So aside from realizing that you're in a circle of protection by either those who love you or your work colleagues, depending on when you're celebrating your birthday, how can you make your own special day of birth more witchy and magical? Birthdays can be made magical with just a few simple rituals. And from the outset, it's important to understand that it's the care and intention that's put into the preparations, not the activities themselves, that carries the magic. Now, having said that, here are some ideas. Now, since birthdays have long been associated with divination and fortune-telling practices, if you have a trusted practitioner yourself, or even if you don't have a trusted one, you could pick a random one online, and it can be really fun to have either your birth chart read through astrology or human design, Or you could take a cheeky leaf out of my book and do a tarot card reading on yourself. I couldn't sleep particularly well the night before my birthday, so I woke up super early and I sat myself down and did an in-depth tarot reading for myself with my new favorite deck, probably at about 6 a.m. by candlelight, and everything was still quiet and the world just felt like it was wholly mine and just changed the course of the day, I think. I'll talk more about this particular deck that I was using in an upcoming tarot-specific episode. It was a very momentous and magical experience. As I mentioned, just looking at the page that my book of my life has been on for the last 40 years and just turning the page to see what was ahead and maybe what I can attach my energies to going forward or what to look out for. But you can do this at any age. You certainly don't need to be 40. Now, if you wanted it to be particularly witchy, you could draw from the Wiccan tradition and you could place your birthday within the Wiccan Wheel of the Year. Now, this wheel consists of 8 seasonal festivals known as Sabbats. And whichever Sabbat you're born in, you could incorporate its particular themes and energies into your birthday celebrations. You could connect with the cycles of nature and the spiritual significance of that particular season. For example, if your birthday falls during the festival of Imbolc, you might like to focus on themes of purification, renewal, and new beginnings. And Imbolc historically involved feasting and sharing food with loved ones, which sounds delicious, to celebrate the increasing daylight and the promise of spring. So you could plan your birthday gathering with seasonal foods like dairy products, grains, early spring vegetables, and you can also spend some time outdoors. Whether it's nature walk, gardening, heading to the beach, going for a hike, or simply soaking in the sunshine on your balcony or in your backyard if you're lucky enough to have one. Now, speaking of soaking up the sunshine, in astrology, your birthday is your solar return. And this marks the exact moment when the sun returns to its natal position in your birth chart. And that's quite magical, because it's the position of the stars in the sky being perfectly the same as the day you were born. A word to the wise, don't look directly at the sun, of course, and make sure you're protected with sun cream. Don't hang out there for too long, particularly if you're in an area like I am, where there's a hole in the ozone layer. Now, your birthday. This is the one day of the year where you're allowed to be egocentric and selfish and celebrate you. So you could step the self-care rituals up a notch, maybe have a ritual bath, infused with natural elements like flower petals or herbs or essential oils that either correspond to the current season or the intention that you want to bring for the year ahead. And you can cleanse those negative energies and invite positive energies for the coming year. Now, magic is not just about adding things, but also subtracting bad things as well from your life. So even if you're not doing anything special and you're happy with that, then consider putting boundaries around doing your most hated chores, or consider taking an early mark from work if you're working that day, because the elimination of something negative can do wonders for the birthday spirit in place of not celebrating. The thing is, maybe birthdays are just a straight up trauma for you and it can't be helped. Maybe there's a death that happened on your birthday, or no one showed up to one of your birthday parties. And there's nothing stopping you then from creating an entirely new date to celebrate you. Send out invitations for your new birthday to everyone you love and trust. They will understand. Because sometimes, no matter what you do, your actual birthday date sucks, but this doesn't mean you aren't worth a bit of time out and celebration of you and being on this planet. If you feel really anxious or uncomfortable celebrating yourself, you can turn your birthday on its head. And instead of receiving gifts, you could give to someone else. So you could shout your friend for dinner at the place you both love. If you have some amazing skill like tarot reading, you could offer to show a friend who's interested how to work that skill for free. Or if you have the time and a pair of hands, then go out and help someone less fortunate. Then that's likely to make you feel really warm and fuzzy and enjoy the day. As you can see, there are plenty of magical ingredients we can add to our birthdays to make the day as magical as possible. Long story short, if I could give you a piece of birthday advice, I would say be gentle with yourself, find moments of joy, Go deep where you can and where feels right. And if you're doing a Kinderfest version, can you save me a piece of cake, please? If you enjoyed this episode, the best thing you can do to let me know you're listening and you want more is to rate me 5 stars on the platform of your choice. The high rating gets me out to more listeners, which means I can spend more time doing this and finally give up my day job, which is my current manifesting focus. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Patreon. My Patreon has arrived and you can basically pay per month to be a very important magical person, a VIMP, a VIMP. This entitles you to view any rituals or spells I put up there. I'm doing a card pull every second week, but the crown jewel of being a Patreon subscriber is that I will soon have completely exclusive VIMP episodes, each one to match the episodes I release publicly. So if that's what you're into, maybe wait a bit until I start posting the episodes. So while you're signed up, you will then have ongoing access to the ever-growing backlog library of VIMP exclusive episodes. So basically, getting those episodes up on Patreon is my focus this month, and that will be the routine and the priority going forward. So in wrapping up the episode, a bit like a birthday present with a big red bow on top, remember that the world is indeed magic. And especially on your birthday, one of the most magical things in this world is you. See you next time.